You all need words of exhortation, brethren and sisters, and it's now my privilege to ask Brother John to step forward and prepare our minds for the entrance. Brother John.
Dear brethren and sisters, I went to a certain fraternal some 30 years ago now. It was probably about 3 years after Sister Carol and I were baptised. And in fact, actually, it was in Nuneaton. And one of the speakers that day concluded his remarks by giving the examples of the records of the kings of Judah. And he said there were some of those that did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, as it's recorded. But of course, there were others that did evil in the sight of the Lord. And he asked us to consider what would be recorded of ourselves. So just say there's a book, The Chronicles of East Coventry. And the Lord Jesus Christ opens it and he looks down the list and he says, Brother Richard Darby, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He'll be welcomed into the kingdom. Then he carried on going down. He got, oh, Brother John Wayne. Well, he had faith. He turned up at a lot of meetings. But he didn't do anything else. He did evil in my sight. So what would be recorded of us? What could we honestly say would be recorded for us? Obviously that fraternal struck a chord with me. It hit home. It's something that I've never forgot. But the emphasis placed, brothers and sisters, in that recording of the kings is that each one did something. So it's in fact a judgment of the works of their lives, whether good or evil. Now, I don't know if you've heard me speak before, but I particularly enjoy reading the writings of James. And in the letter of James, the emphasis is placed upon the importance not only of faith, but of works. Probably because the two are interdependable. You can't really be a true Christian believer without both. In the second chapter of James, and at the 14th verse, James writes, he says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. And he goes on to say in verse 26, For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. So clearly, brethren and sisters, salvation relies on more than just one ingredient. Faith and works have to be in unison for us to gain that salvation and eternal life. It's therefore not good enough to have faith only or actions only. True discipleship is putting faith into actions by works. Well, what can we say of faith? I'm sure we're all very familiar, aren't we, with the letter to the Hebrews. Faith really can be described as trust or confidence for a reason. I think the writer to the Hebrews says that it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, although we hope for something, yet we can't see it. But by having our trust and confidence in it, our faith is turned into substance, into reality. Well, the writer goes on, doesn't he, to state what the importance of faith is, because we know that without faith, he says, it's impossible to please God. Faith without works is dead. So faith is of paramount importance, isn't it? But it has to be backed up by works. I mean, the chapter 11 of Hebrews, from which that is taken, is dedicated to faith, and to faithful men and women who, in their lives, did those things that were required by God. The writer was able to say that they obtained a good report. They did, in fact, that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and not evil. How can we describe our works? I mean, we could say that it's perhaps works is the sum total of our actions, and they consist of acts of kindness, of charity or love. Is that enough? Is there a difference between, let's say, a good deed and a work of faith? Well, quite clearly, certain works are not recognised by God because they're not acts of faith. Just turn to Matthew chapter 7 and read the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in the 21st verse there. He writes, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" I mean, we can all say, can't we? We all say pleasant things and nice things to each other. Nice words, pretty speech. But it's actions that speak louder than words. Actions speak louder than words, yes. And so he says, verse 23, "Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Our baptisms, brothers and sisters, were the beginning. They were the start. They were a confession of a good faith. But works must follow. I mean, we have the pleasant news, don't we, that Adam and Joshua both will shortly be baptised into the saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's not the end, is it? That is the beginning. It's just the start. And works must follow. True discipleship requires commitment. We have to think about the times of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't we? He had the 12 apostles. They received that special invitation to follow him. And they responded, didn't they? They left all. They left their employment, they left their family, they left their friends. And for 3.5 years, they committed themselves to accompanying him. to supporting him, to doing his bidding and following him. But there was also thousands of others who followed him. They came from the towns and from the cities. They came through the hillside and the countryside. The crowds thronged the Lord Jesus Christ wherever he went for various reasons. Perhaps curiosity, to see if the stories that were about him were true. Perhaps they came to hear him preach. Perhaps they came just to see the miracles. But for most, there was no commitment. Any interest they had earlier shown soon just faded away. And they went back to being engrossed, well, in their businesses, in their chores, in the cares of this life. Not all, but most. Well, that's how it shouldn't be for us, should it, brothers and sisters? We must show, as we said, a total commitment. We must perform those works which show our faith. Again, in that second chapter of James. He says there in the 18th verse, "Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" And James goes on, doesn't he, to give the example of Abraham. Abraham was justified by works, wasn't he? He offered up his only begotten son, Isaac, because he knew that God had the power that even if Abraham killed Isaac, God would raise him from the dead. He was the promised seed of Abraham, where all the promises would flow through. He also gives the example of Rahab, who hid the spies. Of course, in Hebrews 11, there are so many individuals recorded. Noah, Joseph, Moses, and many, many more. All who performed sincere acts of faith. There's another particular scripture, brothers and sisters, that I really enjoy reading. It's not just one verse, but there is a particular verse in the book of Joshua, and it's in the 11th chapter. And it's verse 15. It's recorded there. "As the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. Joshua carried out everything that was commanded of him." So in that assessment of ourselves, do we carry out everything that is commanded of us? James also tells us to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving not our own selves. Remember those words we read of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Many will say unto me, Lord, Lord, have we not done this and that in thy name?" It's not good enough. In the first letter of John, in the second chapter, in the 17th verse, John tells us that, perhaps verse 15, for connection, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of the life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. He that does God's will. He that does something. He that puts his faith into actions. Well, the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Romans and the second chapter, gives us a real stark warning, brothers and sisters. Because the Apostle Paul writes there, he warns us in Romans, he says in the sixth chapter, well, speaking of God in verse 5, after the hardness and impenitent heart, treasure up thyself against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgments of God. That's what it's all about. The judgment seat. The righteous judgments of God. Who will render to every man according to his deeds. Verse 8. Unto those who are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish, upon every soul of man that doeth evil. But, on the other hand, verse 7, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing, who have faith and do those works, seek for glory and honour and immortality, well, they will be rewarded. They will receive eternal life. So it's clear, isn't it, brothers and sisters? We now switch our minds and our attention to the emblems. It's now time to share the emblems amongst us. So what's recorded of Jesus? Well, we can clearly say, can't we, that Jesus left nothing undone of all that was required of him. There was full commitment with a life full of faith and works. And the Lord Jesus Christ, brethren and sisters, is looking for each one of us to copy him as best we can with a true heart. So when those books are opened and the account of our lives is read out, each one of us, God willing, will have that recommendation that we have done that which was right in the sight of the Lord. We have put our faith into action by works. So, brethren and sisters, let's not let the Lord Jesus Christ down. And let's not let ourselves down. But let us work hard with our faith and works to seek that glorious future when Jesus will return.